morning, everyone. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and you return to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 15 to 29 in the Pew Bible. It's on page 947. Page 947. Continuing our reading from last week. So beginning with verse 15. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what would their acceptance be like from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. For the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You shall say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in.
Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Thank you, Dave, for reading that scripture today. And we wanted to give you a flavor of what Sunday mornings look like here as we've been working through the book of Romans. But it's Easter Sunday, and I want to start out by saying thank you. Thank you for the decorations. They're beautiful. Thank you for the meal downstairs and the hard work put together with that. Yes, it is appreciated. But I've got so many memories tied to Easter. How many of you, when you were a little kid, did Easter around your house? You were all in. Raise your hand if you would. So, okay, we really didn't, but I would watch people, and we incorporated it into our home. My wife had it. My mother-in-law celebrates like everything. I mean, it's fantastic. She decorates the dining room table and gets all of that set up, and so as a result of that, I've been blessed by having a wife that has inherited that. And I was thinking about just the whole thing about Easter and what comes to mind. Easter candy comes to mind. Peeps. I could care less about eating Peeps. If somebody gave me Peeps, they're probably going to be donated to somebody else. Okay. But those Cadbury eggs, hello. Or that massive chocolate bunny that's handed to you. You're set at that point. I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if these are still available, but those rock hard eggs. Remember those back in the day? That was candy, kind of like a jawbreaker. And I don't know if the FDA just ruled those out because people were dying eating those. But that, I think back to that. And then Easter egg hunts, if you remember those and have been a part of those. And those eggs that were hid in difficult places. And then there was people like me that would show up and they'd put them like on the sidewalk. So I go, okay, there's one, you know. The idiot eggs that were made available to me. And then Easter dress-up. Those pink frilly dresses and those white suits and then that Easter haircut where we, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, we'd grow our hair long and then you'd have to get a haircut because you gotta look like a man, you know, and so you look like a hippie, and so they grab me and cut my hair, and in fact, I remember going, I'll watch Andy Griffith's show, and they got those pictures at Floyd's Barbershop, and I go, that poster was on the barbershop that I went to, and you'd get that, and then your dad on that morning, you know, let's get some Vitalis on that, you know, and you'd smell like for weeks like Vitalis, And just those kind of memories that are tied to that. If you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, YouTube it later, okay? Because it's out there. But we have made Easter such an American holiday. And it reminded me of this scene from a movie called Holiday Inn. Take a look at this from the song Easter Parade. You just stop at your house and there is Fred Astaire sitting on the porch waiting for you. But if you think back to that song, do you remember who wrote that song? Yeah, Irving Berlin. Irving Berlin was born Israel Bilin. He was born back in 1888, a Jewish Russian, a Russian Jew. And he comes to America, and he's so blessed by what has happened in America and his freedom, he would write song after song after song. During his 60-year career, he wrote an estimated 1,500 songs. Easter Parade and Putting on the Ritz and White Christmas and Happy Holiday and Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. Berlin's songs had reached the top of the charts 25 times. People like the Andrews Sisters and Perry Como and Eddie Fisher and Al Jolson and Fred Astaire and Ethel Merman and Louis Armstrong and Frank Sinatra, and the list goes on. He died in 1989 at the age of 101. And composer George Gershwin called him the greatest songwriter that has ever lived. Irving Berlin changed his name, which was typical of many of the Jews at that time. I don't know if you knew that the Three Stooges were Jews, all right? You got Moses, and who became Mo. They're called the Horowitzes. Mo Howard. Shemp was Samuel Howard Horowitz. And then Curly was Jerome. I don't know how he got Curly out of that one. But you think about the persecution that they would receive, and even how they would be treated in America. And yet we're blessed, and he was so smart. The number one hit of all time is a song about Christmas written by a Jew. It floors me. But the Jews have been blessing us for years. And what we wanted to do as we were putting together and thinking about this time together on Easter Sunday, I wanted to give you a flavor of what we do each and every Sunday. It may be one of those things where you would come and you would hear about the resurrection, and the resurrection, we've sung about it, and the resurrection has impact on what I'm going to be talking about. But we work through books of the Bible, and we come to this section of Romans chapter 11, and I would encourage you, as Dave has already read that, that you would have a Bible open in front of you, that you would maybe, if you want to, on the back of your bulletin, fill in some notes, and we'll just work through this together. Look at verse 15. Point number one is he's using a parable. Using a parable. Look again with me at verse 15. For if their resurrection, I'm sorry, if their rejection, talking about the Jewish people, means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Here we're seeing the beauty of acceptance, that people would come and they would hear about what Christ has done. But wait, let me get this straight. God did this. He sent his son who took on flesh and he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day so that I could have salvation. Oh, that's fantastic. That's what a gift given. And so if you could accept that today, that cleans up your life now and God continues doing a work on you. And then when you die, you go to heaven as a free gift. So often when I talk to different individuals, are you going to heaven? Boy, I hope so. And then I said, well, could I share with you what the Word of God says? It says it's a gift that you can receive because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not effort and work. It's finished. It's done. And it's a gift given to you. Look at verse 16. He goes on. He says, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. You see, the Jews were called upon to give the first part of the dough. It may be like, really? That's what happened? Yeah, that's what they were called upon. And that would bless the whole loaf. And then he goes on to say that if the base or roots of the tree are holy, then the branches are blessed because of it. And so you and I, as we think about how blessed we are, as I show you this, I want you to see this. The Bible, the first section is a thing called the Old Testament. And it wasn't written there just for us to bypass it and to get to the end of the story. This section prepares us. You ever watch a TV show and you're like, you're all in. In fact, when it's done, you've binged on Netflix. And when it's done, you're like, it's like you've lost an old friend. Like God, in his wisdom, trying to get the point across about how bad sin is, and how amazing his holiness is, and how, even as we've sung, that we get his righteousness based on what he has done by believing and putting our faith in him. And that's what saves us. Yes, and so this group of people is the roots. And something happened to us so that we would benefit. How could that happen? I mean, if he's blessed the Jewish people, you ever notice that Passover and this weekend are the same, Easter and Passover at the same time? That isn't an accident. We have all of these benefits because of the people of Israel. And God put his love toward them. And then I get the blessings from that. Look at verse 17 and 18. But if some of the branches were broken off, that's those that would not believe, and you, although a wild olive shoot, that's what God calls us, we're grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. So, and I would encourage you to write this down. If you have any interest in YouTube, don't YouTube it now. But write in grafting olive tree and look that up later. The process is amazing. What would happen? And olive trees, they say that even some of the olive trees that are in the Garden of Gethsemane right now were there when Jesus was alive. They young ones are 500 years old. And what would happen is that root would become somewhat dormant, and you'd still want to get fruit from it because olives were an important crop in the ancient world. There was food tied to it. There was the lighting of lamps tied to it. And although trees often live for hundreds of years, individual branches eventually stopped producing olives. And so when that happened, branches from younger trees were grafted in to restore productivity. And if you watch the video, you'll see that's really cool how they take the time to cut that, whittle it, put it in there, and then the life from this old root takes on into that new root and fruit starts to grow again. That's us with Israel. Because they were blessed in the ways they were, and now God grafts us in, whittles away, jams us in there, ties it tightly, and then we bear fruit as a result of it. But he gives us a warning. Look at verse 18. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So you and I, when we get these benefits that we get, and by the way, don't we feel that about everything? I mean, that's why when you're sitting with your grandparents or you're sitting with your parents and they start talking about the old times and you're like, oh, here we go again. Those old times set it up for us to benefit. You think about like this building. This church started in the late 70s and then additions put on and a gym that we were able to fill up today. All those things. There was a group of people earlier on that took the time to vote on that, to give toward that, and we benefit. And we love that. We appreciate that. And so God is saying, hey, as you look at the people of Israel, there might be a temptation for you to go, oh, they don't believe in our Jesus. There's some do, but most don't. And it would be a part, don't they understand? And God said, don't be arrogant. Just pray. Just love. Feel that same way about people that are out and about in the world. If you've done church for a very long time, it's easy to think, what is with people? What's with our country? And all those things. And not realizing, well, there's a reason. They don't know the Lord. That's why they act that way. And if I'm acting that way, well, you can keep, I'll leave it there. All right. So he says, don't be arrogant. And he says this, verse 19, then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. God broke off those branches so that for those that did not believe, and I come in and I benefit. Verse 20, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud. I mean, these are powerful words, but fear. Don't be cocky. Be fearful of the truth about the fact that if they fell, I could too. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Wow. This is serious, eternal stuff. Like when we're singing these songs about Christ rising from the dead and we're excited. Easter isn't a game. This is a real person. The God-man, Jesus, died. In fact, experienced a horrible death. I couldn't show a scene from the Passion of the Christ because some of you couldn't handle it. I've had people say there's only so much I could watch. I'll sit through Bing singing a song, but I'm not going to sit through that. It's brutal to watch. And I'd venture to say that isn't even half of what he experienced. So this real God-man died. He's buried. That's what all yesterday represented. He's buried. And he rose again. Not to be taken lightly. He is the Creator God. Look at verse 22. This is a powerful verse. Note then the kindness, and we love the kindness of God. We love grace. We love mercy. We love his love. But look at this. And the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And so all of God's attributes work together in harmony. There's no conflict with his goodness and his love and his justice and his wrath. Those who reject God's offer for salvation face ruin. That's why we're so bent on getting this message out. And genuine saving faith perseveres. Look at this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. It's good fisherman theology by John, getting the point across. Those that receive Christ persevere. They hold on. Look at verse 23. He says, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in too. See, God is not done with Israel. I love that he made these promises. Remember I showed you that as I was holding up the Bible there? This section here, that first section, is packed with promises that he made to the people of Israel. And God doesn't lie. He keeps his promises. And as true as he keeps those promises, as we in the New Testament inherit the beauty of it, that means that I'm going to keep my promises to you. God's all in. In this relationship, once he starts a relationship with us, he's all in. He can be trusted. Verse 24, for if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Since God can save you, non-Jew, how much more he can work on someone that has these amazing roots? And so some of you may be here today, and not necessarily a Jewish thing, but you grew up in church. You did church, and for a while you haven't been at church. I want you to know, here's what God is, and I don't think it's an accident you're here today. God is saying, come home. Go to a church that preaches the word. Go to a church that says, that lifts up the person of Christ, who's the Messiah, who's the Son of God. Point number two, as we continue on, using a prescription, look at verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. I love mysteries, by the way. Columbo, I'm set. Okay, watching a good mystery or hearing a good mystery. He goes, I don't want you to be unaware of this, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Mystery is something that has not been explained in the Old Testament, but now is explained. So God is calling Gentiles to himself, and he's been faithfully working it. And when he's done, he's done. Point number three, using a prophecy. Look at verses 26 and 27. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. God's doing this work. As is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Paul is using Isaiah and Jeremiah here, and he's saying that Jesus is the one who will take away their sins. If you're here today, and I don't know, y'all look great, all right? But I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know, but God does. And I want you to know, there might be a part of you, I don't know if you're like me, I do a lot of bad self-talk. I'm like really hard on myself. I think if you were to verbally hear out loud what I say to myself, you go, Mark, lighten up. Right? But I'd venture to say that some of you here feel that way too. And sometimes it's warranted. Sometimes there's things that are going on in our hearts that we know there's sin that's going on. There's things that you're thinking about or involved in and doing. You know, this isn't good. Can I invite you again to a Savior who isn't waiting for you to clean up and then come to him. I'm inviting you to a person that's Mr. Clean, okay? And he takes you, he takes every one of us, the mess that we are, and he comes in and he changes things for his glory. I want to invite you to that. And that's what Jesus did. And God was talking about Jesus back in Isaiah. He's talking about Jesus back in Jeremiah when this prophecy is being said. Last point, point number four, using a promise. Using a promise. Look at verse 28. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob planted the seeds to what we are now seeing as the blessing of God on all of our lives. Verse 29. Good verse. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You have a gift given to you. And God is not going to play games. He's not going to go, you've been bad. Give me that back. It's irrevocable. God's saving work is unconditional. It's unchangeable because it's rooted in what is called his immutable nature. God cannot change. God doesn't lie. And once you and God start a relationship, he does not change his mind about you. Look at this in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, look at this. This is a great exchange. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So don't put your attributes on God. He's trustworthy. And so I want you to look. We've talked a lot of history today. And God has invested, you see that? He's invested a lot in a group of people that have blessed us. Right from the beginning, God has been all into this relationship. He also knows your history. And that's nothing for him to handle. Oh, if you knew what I was really like, if you knew what I have done, I don't need to. I don't need to know. God knows. Oh, by the way, he knows. He knows. And he's still into this relationship. I don't get it. So today, I invite you, we invite you. That's why we're singing these songs. You know why we're singing these songs? We're really happy. Like, we didn't deserve this. We deserved hell. And God, by gift, gives you heaven. So we invite you to invite Jesus, who left a tomb, to inhabit the hearts and lives of all who believe. Please don't hesitate to take that step today and see what God can do. I'll be here. There's others that maybe somebody invited you, and you might go, boy, that thing he was talking about. I've been going for a long time. I've been going on this thing. I've been going on my resume. When people ask, are you going to heaven? I hope so. Well, why would you be led into heaven? Oh, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm pretty good. That's not what saves. Jesus saves. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you so much for the truth that we've sung, the truth that we've looked at, the thing that we can rest in you and you alone. Thank you for that. We're trusting you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.